This is FourQuarterFriday.com. Matt Smith, Rob Williams, joined now by Coach Leon Boulware. Rock Hill is 3-0, but every week is a challenge. And, Coach, you've got another big one. I know there's a lot of emotions surrounding this one. First of all, well done. You told us before the season started that these kids could play. They've shown that they can play. But now South Point and Rock Hill will get it on. So tell us about that rivalry, what this week feels like, and what you expect out of your players on Friday night.
To be honest with you, Smitty, we kind of kept things normal. We don't change anything based off our opponent. We want to continue the path that we've been on with our preparation. So, and that's the most important part. I tell our kids all the time, Monday through Thursday is the most important part. Friday should be the fun part. We get all the work done Monday through Thursday, and they're doing a great job with that. But we also understand that we plan to defend the state champions from across the road. So we have to be prepared. I mean, they're going to throw everything at us like we will as well. So we have to be prepared on all cylinders for this game on Friday.
Coach, I want to talk a little bit. Let's pause and rewind for just a moment and look back at what you have done the first 3 weeks. Okay, it's been relatively dominant on the scoreboard, right? And you told us in the spring, you were actually my first stop on our spring tour, and you alerted us of all these guys that you had that could play. And Smitty's right, you've let everybody else know across the state that Rock Hill is here in 2026. Can you talk about those first 3 weeks a little bit, and specifically last week with a big travel week? The drive, I think, was probably the longest drive that anybody had to make in the first 3 weeks.
Yeah, we're not excited about that drive.
So talk to me about like how you navigate that and how y'all are navigating the success that you expected.
Well, to be honest with you, when you have to build a schedule the way we did when you had a hard time getting people surrounding you to play. And so credit to the team that did give us opportunity to play. But early on, man, we talked about our defense early on. We knew that the defense is always going to travel, so we had to make sure that we were solid on the defensive side of the ball. But those guys have been doing it since last year. I mean, people didn't pay attention to our defense last year, and we was making small statements as of last year. And then, again, they're a year older. They're in the system. They understand what we're asking of them, and they're doing a really good job of it. But we did have to make sure with those first three games that we took care of the bodies. It was a grind. We didn't walk out of Irmo and not have to take care of our bodies come Saturday morning. It was a real physical game. Turn around with Ashley Ridge, who gave us everything they had. And then also, I mean, last week, Hilton Head is not a bad football team. So we had to come out there and execute, and our kids did a really good job. A lot of people first early on looked at me like I was crazy about the schedule. But we were getting battle tested to get prepared for one of the toughest regions in South Carolina when it comes to 5A football. So we have to make sure our guys are ready.
I would go out on a limb and say the toughest region when it comes to 5A football, maybe the toughest region in all of South Carolina high school football. I want to talk about your defense really quickly here. And it's, I think, you know, you told me early on, it starts with Caleb Wright kind of there in the middle, and then you got playmakers all over the place. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about how those guys have – embrace this mentality, because it has been a chokehold of sorts with this defense, and your offense obviously can get it going, but I think for you it does kind of start with imposing the will of that defense, at least in my view, how I'm watching this team.
It starts with Caleb is our quarterback on the defense side of the ball for us, getting everybody lined up, making the calls and checks. He does a really good job with that. And then you turn around, the guys that names are not getting mentioned enough is that defensive line that we have. When you have Zay Joseph, Josiah Lewis, Trey Cannon, and then you got the monsters, Jayshon Cup coming after you as well. Those four guys are getting after you. And then the linebacker core, I talked about Tristan Nelson, a name that was in our program last year, who kind of snuck up and rose up within the spring right beside Caleb. And then that secondary, we go ones-on-ones in practice, and I know why a lot of people are frustrated, because our offense gets frustrated going against them every day. But that group, man, they're so prideful about the defense. If somebody scores in practice, they're getting on each other and they communicating about how they got to do better, or they holding each other accountable. So that's the thing that we want to see when you got a player-led team, especially on that side of football, and they take pride in it. we're right where we want to be at this moment.
Coach, you talk about that defense. I want you to stay on it for just a moment, because that has always been Rock Hill's calling card, even, you know, the secondary. Some teams build kind of on the offensive line or the defensive line inside out. Rock Hill has always had players in the secondary, always had players at linebacker. And I know that Coach Jim Ringer used to essentially say, look, my guys are going to get snaps on defense. My best players will get snaps on defense. Do you handle that the same way? In other words, you know, you might have guys that could contribute on offense, but you know you want your defense to be your top priority, and that's your kind of your calling card, your signature.
So philosophy still the same. I grew up seeing it. I seen Coach Ringer do it. We're going to build it on the defensive side of football. We're going to put our best 11 over there, and we're going to get after you. And then offensively, we're going to bring in our skill guys, and we're going to let them go make plays. Obviously, Coach Ringer, now he ran the ball 77 times with two passes. We'll throw the ball a little bit more than that, especially nowadays. We was able to play good defense and run the football. So that's the mindset that we have to have to play our style of football that we talk about every day.
All right, Coach, let's flip it back to the offensive side a little bit. We talked about that defensive secondary, and the names are notable, and, you know, everybody's getting either committed or getting serious college looks in that secondary. A couple of them are going to flip over and either return kicks for you or play on the offensive side of the ball. Can you talk a little bit about how you've been able to spread the ball out on offense and get it into the hands of those playmakers? Because every time that I watch your team play, it seems like somebody else is making the big play. I can't write a story. I can't do a video clip and zero in on one guy because there's too many names that continue to pop up.
Yeah, we're fortunate. Our receiving corps is probably one of the most deepest groups that we have on our team. And we don't even start our secondary guys in our receiving room. But we're starting off with Corinthian Bowser, Mook Neely, Cam Wilson, and Jonah Torres, and then we start mixing in the JoJo Brooks, the Nigel Leitner, Caden Watkins, Zymir Gordon-Miles. So we able to navigate and make sure that you got to defend eight skill guys on top of a mobile quarterback with a solid offensive line up front. So you can go in with one game plan, but we're going to try to make you execute a different one. So we try to make sure that we can spread the ball out and let our athletes go make plays and do what they do with the ball in their hand. It makes my job a lot easier when you got that many athletes that you can make sure they touch the football.
Well, how about the job now that Jonah Culp has in front of him? You've had an injury at quarterback, so now Jonah Culp is going to be behind center. He's already led you to one win, that road win at Hilton Head, so trial by fire. But maybe all those athletes around him and the way you guys have, you know, pulled this scheme together offensively, maybe that makes it a little, it's never easy for a quarterback, but a little easier to insert Jonah Culp into this offense.
Yeah, so Jalen Culp is now inserted in at quarterback. Prayers, and we still are worried about Jonah. I mean, he's our number one guy, so we're going to get through this thing together with him. But Jalen has did a really good job of playing quarterback. He was already taking second quarterback reps. Before that, he was our number one. He was our number one receiver at the X position. So he was already on the field, has a lot of quarterback experience. So that piece of it is not a hard transition for him. And then he's also a guy that can use his legs, and he has a strong arm that can. I mean, he threw an 89-yard touchdown pass last week. And that was on the run. So he can use his legs. He can throw it as well. And then it makes his job a lot easier when all you got to do is take care of getting the ball to different playmakers around you. So it makes the life of a quarterback easier in terms of getting the ball. But then our offensive line is really doing a good job of protecting them as well. So we're excited about where we're going with it.
You mentioned that you're going to throw it a little more than two times to the 77 run plays, but you're still going to run the football, right? So that's one thing we haven't talked about a little bit here. Can you talk about those backs? I know that that you have talent there as well that returned from last year, maybe a little bit under the radar, but you've kind of been able to establish that. And now with Jalen Culp there at quarterback, you have that element with him as well. But can you talk a little bit about the running backs and what has stood out there? And that ties together with what you mentioned, offensive line, not only protecting the quarterback, but opening up lanes for him to run.
Yeah, Devin Irby leads the pack, is a junior running back for us. He's another kid that got offered as a 10th grader, also a big-time track guy. Then you bring Zymir Gordon-Miles, Donovan Franklin. the list goes on in terms of we aligned Caden Watkins up in the backfield. Last week, we let South Carolina know that Nigel Lightner can line up at running back. He broke a 66-yard touchdown run. So, again, put the athletes where you need to put them, get them the ball, and let them go play football. And so we're able to line up anybody we feel like can get it done for us in the backfield. I mean, you seen Nigel Lightner at running back last week. Who knows? Maybe we see him at quarterback one day in our offense. So we're going to line our guys up where it helps us out. And look at who we're playing and try to scheme it to where we can out-leverage and get our guys the ball in space.
Now, Coach, you said that you try to treat every opponent the same, but one thing that is different about South Point is they've got a lot of talent on that defensive side of the ball as well. You guys are used to putting people in the pressure cooker. This could be a low-scoring game. This could be a real fist fight. How do you deal with that, I guess, emotionally in the players? You've been in those your whole life, but these players – probably need to be, getting them in a headspace that, hey, this could be like 17-14 fourth quarter. This could be a really tight, tough game, and they have to be ready for that and make plays in the fourth quarter.
Smitty, I message all week to our kids, and we make sure we tell them every day when we come in for our team meetings. It's going to be execution over emotions. So execution over emotions is the word of the week for us. They understand that. They've been doing a good job. We kill the outside noise. We don't want to hear anything about what social media has to say. Everybody's talking at the barbershop or whatever they got to say in the community. We still got to play football. That's our mindset. And we're telling our kids, hey, go have fun. Some of you guys, this is your last time playing South Point. We know we're going to get everything from South Point. We expect to get everything from South Point. They better expect to get everything from us as well. But we know that we cannot let our emotions take control of this game. We got to go play the game of football that – we have been practicing and coaching these guys to do every single day. Obviously, it's going to be a high emotional game, but at the same time, I'm expecting us to come out and play better football than we did last week.
All right, Coach, here's my question that as you know, media people, sometimes we get stuck on a question. This is mine. I ask everybody this question, but it really lands this week more than ever, I think. What does this environment look like on Friday night? Okay, we love high school football in the state of South Carolina because the stadiums, the towns, the way things shut down, everybody shows up. It is something special that you can't simulate, you can't make it up, you can't tell the story, and it's never as good as what it was when you were there. What do you expect in D3 Stadium on Friday night?
So good thing is Northwestern's on the bye week, so it's only one game in town. District 3 is probably going to have a line outside the stadium. Packed stands. We're working on some more concession stand workers, if y'all know anybody, by the way. But it's going to be packed house. I'm excited for our kids. This is what they worked for in June and July, to have the whole city of Rock Hill come out, whether they cheering on South Point or they cheering on Rock Hill. This is what Football City USA is about, shutting down the town and everybody's packing that stadium and to support the kids. The kids are the main focus of this game is what they've been putting all the efforts and work into. So I'm excited for our kids and our program to see everybody come fill it up like it used to be.
You mentioned a moment ago that you have a player-led team. Can you speak to a couple of those players that maybe have stepped up, whether they are new players or they were existing players, whether they're new leaders or existing leaders? Who are the ones that everybody's looking to when the coaches walk away and there's a player in the middle of the huddle, or when there's a tough moment on the sideline, or when it's, you know, we're trotting back out on the field for a play that's going to make or break this game, Coach? Who are the names that you know, I trust these guys, and they're going to get people in the right spot?
Rob, we started this back in June or July. I'm sorry, I have a player development coach, and we created a leadership committee. And all those guys in that leadership committee meet once a week, and we have hard conversations and talk about things that leaders do, and knowing that leaders have to have uncomfortable conversations sometimes. And so those leaders are meeting weekly, and they are addressing things on and off the field. Our locker room, they know if we walk in there, that locker room better be spotless. Every toilet better be flush. And that started with our leadership council, and they're policing that piece. That started with a lot of guys in that room. I'm going to go Caleb Wright, Jonah Young. Who else? Zymir Gordon Miles, Caleb Wright, Caden Watkins. So we got about 12, Donovan Franklin, about 12 or 13 guys in that meeting. James Heckert, our kicker, is in that leadership meeting. So if they see it, they got to address it. And we got to address it the right way. We can't go in there and start tearing each other down, but they got to go put the arm around them and say, hey, this ain't how we operate over here. This is not what we're doing. And so when we start seeing that happen, that's when we start seeing a lot more success starting.
Well, you heard it. College coaches take note, because leaders on high school teams make for good college football players. So a lot of those names that you mentioned right there are going to succeed at the next level. That is Leon Boulware, Football City USA, District 3 Stadium, the place to be Friday night. We'll have it covered for you here at 4QuarterFriday.com.